Class is in session. Good evening, class, and welcome to Binary Gamer. I am your host, Tony Spears, and this is the show where passionate people talk passionately about the thing that we're passionate about, and that thing is video games. So, let's get the bottom line up front. Binary Gamer is a weekly show you can listen to in all of your favorite podcasting equipment, applications, places therein, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcast. Anywhere you can listen to a podcast, you can listen to Binary Gamer. You can also head over to YouTube, search Binary Gamer, check out the awesome stuff we got going on over there. And finally, you can find me, Tony Spears, over on Twitter at iFlipTheSwitch. Twitter handle in the episode description to follow. Now that is out of the way, let's go ahead and get into the show. So I'm not really going to gloss over the week that was, but at the same time, the particular meat and potatoes of this episode are what I really want to focus on. So I'm not going to be delving into the week that was too much. So the week that was, we have finally hit maximum Monster Hunter with the PC release of Monster Hunter World. And man, oh freaking man, is it awesome. Like I didn't think I would be so excited about a game that I had played many, many, many hours of coming to another console. But man, here I am having dumped, I think I've already dumped something close to 30 hours over the course of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And man, it is so much freaking fun. Now, granted, there's been a couple little hiccups as far as like server stability is concerned. I don't know what Capcom does for, say, like Street Fighter that they don't do for other games, but the connectivity issues were abundant. And it's one of those things that you can definitely tell when traffic is up in the game because you start running into those problems more. And then under certain scenarios, it turns out, you know, pretty well. It doesn't get too horrible. A lot of times if you're just playing duos, it works out just fine. I had plenty of four-person hunts with just randos, and that worked out fine. And then, you know, you try and, like, get with friends and stuff like that, and that's when you start losing connections. Granted, I'm playing with, you know, one person in China, two people in the States. So it's one of those things that, you know, with distance comes a lot of issues, especially when you have a server load like what Monster Hunter Monster Hunter World ran into on, you know, PC launch day. 270,000 concurrent players, like the first day, just boom, right off the bat, which is really big considering the fact that this game came out in, I think it was April that it came out. It was February or April. I can't remember off the top of my head, but came out earlier in the year and, you know, had a good run on PS4 and Xbox, which as far as I know, those communities are still running strong. But first time on PC and opening day just comes out swinging. So that's a good indication of what is to come. And as the weekend went on, I was seeing more stability and better performance server-wise throughout the game. So I'm pretty sure it's something that Capcom is aware of and working on and hopefully gets rectified soon. You know, getting dropped every once in a while is not that big of a deal, but when it was happening every match multiple times during a hunt, I'm just like, ugh, come on, man. So definitely looking forward to playing more of that game. It is going to be rad. So aside from that, played a whole lot of Dead Cells, and that's really about it. I was kind of alternating between the two, Dead Cells and, well, some Rainbow Six Siege. I don't know what it is, man. I'm still going back to Rainbow Six Siege, I guess, just to test out my skills, maybe to see if I can actually climb the ladder in like ranked, which I'm still scared to dip my toe in there. And then actually I've been taking part in the community feedback portion for, what is it called? For Magic the Gathering Arena. They've been sending out a lot of emails for like community feedback based on player experience and stuff. And a lot of what I've been seeing people talk about on like Reddit and other places is everybody just wants to have a friend list. Like, let me play test against my friends, so I don't just get beat by randos over and over again to try and, you know, kit out my deck and figure out what I need to do. Let me actually play against my friends. So that's been like the number one thing, which I can totally understand that. That makes perfect sense. But it's just funny to me that, again, that's something that like they could have rolled a patch in at this point. They could have done something to, I mean, it can't be that hard to implement that. But maybe it is. I don't know. I don't work with computers in that way. I am not a network technician, for all I know. It's abundantly hard. And, you know, like netcode and everything else is probably some type of science I don't want to deal with. Which seems to be weird because the majority of issues I've been having with games lately is like mostly connection based. The games themselves have been rad, but it's just keeping connected. That seems to be it. So a lot of the games I've been playing, aside from Monster Hunter on PC, have kind of stayed the same. It's a weird time of year where I'm not buying a whole bunch of games because I'm really set in the ones I want to play. I'm actually probably in the coming weeks going to go back through and replay Guacamelee so I can prepare myself for Guacamelee 2, which will be coming out soon. I believe it comes out this month. And so I'm looking forward to that. I really liked the first Guacamelee. That game is a lot of fun. And as far as the sequel and everything, I have high hopes. I am, you know, I'm waiting with optimism and bated breath. So hopefully Drinkbox Games can knock another one out of the park like they did with Guacamelee. Now, let's get into the actual subject at hand. And if you hadn't guessed already, I'm going to be talking about the fiasco going on over at IGN. Now, I am not using this platform as a means of bashing IGN. I've enjoyed a lot of IGN content over the years. Probably one of the first video game websites that I like started to frequent a whole lot early on until, you know, I kind of found my niche of where I want to go. And I still go back to IGN for certain things, and I like some of the content that they do now. But a lot of the core people that I was exposed to when I first discovered IGN, people like Greg Miller, Colin Moriarty, pretty much everybody from Kind of Funny, and, you know, like Jose Otero, and those people have kind of moved on. A lot of people come and go from IGN. And so I kind of fell off because when it comes to the content that I like to get into online, a lot of it is really personality based. So, you know, as much as listening to, you know, someone's review of something from a source like IGN or GameSpot is really cool, if I'm not really invested in the person doing the review or that type of content, then I'm probably not going to be sticking around. So that kind of is a little backstory is my exposure to IGN. I haven't really frequented the site in a long time. I still go there for tips and tricks and walkthroughs and stuff like that. But for the most part, not really engaging too much. So recently, if you're not aware, a YouTube channel by the name of Boomstick Gaming had put up a video, which I will link in the episode description here, because I feel like it really does warrant a look. I mean, granted, the kid over at Boomstick Gaming, I assume he's a kid, sounds like a young guy, but he obviously is not in need of views or subs at the moment because of this whole thing. His subscriber base has apparently shot upwards, skyrocketed. And that's good. I mean, based on everything that happened. But at the same time, the video warrants watching because it's crazy just how blatant it is. And the whole thing is about plagiarism. A editor over at IGN was doing a review for Dead Cells, which just recently had its 1.0 release, and they did it almost immediately after Boomstick Gaming did theirs. And when you compare the two, which he does very well in the video, like two windows side by side, alternating between, between playing his and then the one from IGN, so on and so forth, it's like, at first you're like, okay, like, there's some similarities, but I can see where this is the kind of intro you would use for this particular, you know, type of review based on the type of game, so on and so forth. And then as it starts to go on, it becomes very apparent that the body of his video and the text which was written for it was pretty much just uprooted and transplanted into this IGN review. Now, I'm not going to put a name to this particular IGN review only because I don't feel like this person needs any type of publicity just based strictly on their actions. And from my understanding and things I have read and research I have done, they have been removed from the situation. And by that, I mean canned. So, I mean, hey, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. But I also want to preface this with, I'm not bashing IGN. That's not the purpose of this. That is not my intention. IGN is, in all intents and purposes, a reputable and honest games journalism site. They do everything that they can to do stuff by the book. And in an organization that big, with so much content and so many people creating things and putting out, you know, videos and reviews and podcasts and things like that every single day, sometimes it's hard to check for authenticity. And a lot of times you're just taking the person at their word. Like, you have hired this person as either a reviewer or as a host, as maybe a personality for content to do reviews, do guides and walkthroughs and things like that. And you're taking this person at their word because you figure, like, they have to go through an interview process. There's some type of, like, you know, internship or some vetting process that they have to go through. And that is what is, you know, giving you the warm fuzzy on letting them take the reins and do their own thing. So when this happens and a place like IGN is getting the brunt of the trash being thrown at them, that's not fair. It's not fair that they, as a institution, as a website, are, you know, instantly put into the same bucket as this one bad apple. And yes, are they still responsible? Yes, because that particular person falls under their umbrella. And, you know, by virtue of that, they are responsible. But at the same time, it's not something that you need to be going through and just, you know, chastising and bashing these people online. I'm not here to, you know, go full social justice warrior and be like, leave them alone, they did nothing wrong. I mean, there has been a slew of drama to come out of IGN in the past couple of years, and I'm not the person to be, you know, to be talking about it, really, because I haven't done a whole lot of digging on that kind of stuff. But when you start to see stuff, you know, on Twitter or just, you know, Reddit, things online and stuff like that, you start to see where, like, the boat is kind of starting to sway. At some point, it's going to start taking on water, and you don't want that. Like, that's definitely not something that you want to do. So when things like this come up, granted, of all the things that could have happened, a case of plagiarism is pretty easy to rectify, and in a lot of ways, the smallest fire that you could possibly have to put out. So, I mean, lesser of evils, right? With this, it's just a matter of, like, remove the bad element, which has been done, and then talk to the person whose work was lifted in order to work out some type of compensation and to, you know, make them understand that this was, you know, not intentional. Like, that is not part of, like, IGN guidelines, I imagine, you know, during, like, the training video that you watch, be like, now remember, scour YouTube and the rest of the internet, and that way you can go through and find all the choices, content, and ideas to pluck through and to make our own. Like, no, that's not how it works. But at the same time, they're going to have to put some type of system in place in order to, like, you know, put a stop to possible future cases of plagiarism or, you know, lifting other people's content. And it sucks because in a world where the more content that you put out and the more quality content that you put out, the better the, you know, return on investment is, this is going to take time. They're going to have to create a process that is going to take time to vet different like editorials and to vet, you know, different content that goes out, you know, before it even goes out the door. And I mean, that sucks because that kind of cuts into the bottom line, but it's a matter of, do we want to take on more water or do we want to get to port slower? Well, sometimes it's a matter of, you know, getting to port one way or the other. A lot of weird analogies this particular episode. Sorry about that. But I just, it bothers me for two reasons. The first reason being that it sucks that people that are doing honest, hard work at IGN, you know, they're trying to do the best they can, and they're trying to make a quality product, and they're trying to lend their voice out there to give people, you know, their opinion, an informed opinion, to, you know, either help them purchase games or to, you know, let them know, hey man, you might want to try this out, or hey, did you know this particular thing about this particular game that you like? You should go check that out. Stuff like that. And those people, unfortunately, have this brand on them now that kind of makes like mass punishment for everybody. And that sucks, because if you're over there and you're working your ass off and you're doing the right thing and you're trying to make, you know, the choicest content out there, and then this happens, and then now all of a sudden everything you're doing is kind of put under a microscope based off of one person's bad decisions and bad journalistic practices, that sucks. Like, that puts a bad taste in your mouth, and you're going to, I mean, possibly look at other avenues. I'm not saying that other people are jumping ship. And like I said, I'm just kind of rolling with my thought process here. Like, a lot of this stuff, unless I specifically say that I have researched this, it's not, you know, factual. I'm just hypothesizing here. But two, as the guy that made the video, which, to be fair, I went through and I watched the actual review that Boomstick Gaming did, and it was good. Like, it's a good, solid review. Granted, a lot of it isn't really stuff I haven't already heard personally, because I was, you know, in the early access period for the game, so I know the game pretty well. But a lot of what he is putting out there is, you know, it's really good coverage, it's really good content, and, you know, solid opinions based around the game. And I actually think that my having been in the early access period for the game helps me to really appreciate the amount of work that he has put in, because he's, you know, he went through and like he got a whole bunch of different footage and stuff, and then he went through and did an analytic breakdown of like game mechanics and the way the game plays, the feel, you know, different strategies, and like, you know, like what you should expect when you first start and what's going to happen, and so on and so forth. And it's really, really good. Granted, his channel focuses a lot on game mechanics, which is good. I personally am a big fan of like mechanical analysis in games, because good mechanics make for good gameplay experiences. And that's a lot of what he focuses on in, you know, in the review and in a lot of his other content as well. Which, if you haven't checked out his video, if you're one of the people that hasn't decided to go over there because of this whole thing, you should go and check it out. I'm not saying unsub from IGN and go sub Boomstick Gaming. There's room for both. But yeah, definitely go and check out his stuff, because he does a lot of different analysis on stuff. And he does like series on things. Like, he has a list for like the Soulsborne games. He has, you know, like Monster Hunter World, like a big list of that stuff. And then like general games and stuff like that, different breakdowns of different games. And it's all really good content. It's all well thought out. It's all well made. It's very professionally made. And like I said, it sucks for him, because he put a lot of work, a lot of effort into making this video. And then it just gets just snatched up. And to be perfectly honest, in a world where sometimes you view these companies as being too big to go after, he might have had second thoughts about making that video, about making the, hey man, like, what do I do now? Like, these guys pretty much lifted my video. Like, you know, ? There's a lot of that type of mentality and thinking. I'm not saying IGN would have just like squashed him, but I think he went about it the right way. I think he went about it in the way of like, you know, I should just bring this to light, and then eventually it will get to the source. And it did, very fast, might I add. And that's good, because the way he went about it, I mean, granted, he took some jabs, and he had a right to take jabs at the guy that made the video on the IGN side. Because like I said, like toward the beginning, you're like, well, okay, this is pretty decent. Like, this is actually, you know, not bad. I can see where there's similarities here. And then by the end of it, it's just like whole sentences, whole paragraphs. And that's that sucks. I would personally be like flattered to an extent, and then I would be enraged, like full blown troll rage, and I don't think I would have composed myself and handled myself as well as he did. So kudos to Boomstick Gaming for that, for, you know, doing the adult thing and just kind of stepping back, taking a look at the situation, being like, all right, this is how I'm going to engage this. And I mean, for all intents and purposes, won. But the reason I bring this up and the point I'm trying to get across with this is that in the great grand skew of the internet and the world as it is, with video games being more prolific and widespread and just, you know, entwined in so much of our lives now than it has ever been before, the idea that there isn't room for other opinions and voices is, in my opinion, completely invalid. But at the same time, depending upon your position in that particular ecosystem, if you're, you know, from an IGN or from a GameSpot or, you know, a Giant Bomb, a Kind of Funny, these places that have a lot of eyes on them and a lot of people supporting them and, you know, frankly, a lot of people working and relying on each other, you're kind of held to a higher standard. And I think that is lost on some people. I'm not saying like the places, like the individuals therein. And like, and I'm not going to give, like, you know, specific examples, except obviously this guy that made the Dead Cells review, because it's like at some point he kind of forgot that, oh, I work for the biggest video game website in the world. Maybe I should put some thought and effort into this and actually put out a good quality product instead of like really just kind of taking the easy way out. And I understand that, you know, there, you know, deadlines come up, there's pressure, a lot of pressure and stuff like that. But like, you got a job in video games, you work in games media, your job is like, your existence is subsidized on the playing and analyzing and opinionating of video games. There are people in places all over the world that would literally have, that would be okay with having both their hands chopped off to even have a shot, let alone to actually be in your shoes. So it's almost kind of like kicking sand in a lot of people's eyes, because like, as you know, someone here who's sitting in front of a computer talking into a mic about video games, like, I would do anything for that type of shot. You know what I mean? Like, I would do damn near everything shy of, you know, kill a man in order to have a shot at a position like that, because like, that is, you know, for a lot of people, that is the dream. Some people want to play baseball, and some people work their asses off to be the best baseball player they can be. And then some of those people make it to the show. They make it to the big leagues and they get to play baseball for a living. That's amazing. That's awesome. Same thing with any other professional sport. But the same thing can also be said for a lot of other jobs. Some people love to cook and they go to school and become the best cook, the best chef they could possibly be. And then one day they get paid to make delicious food. They're living the dream. Some people just want to talk about video games. Some people want to talk passionately about the thing they're passionate about, video games, and maybe get paid. And so when you kind of take that ideal and you kind of, you know, I mean, for lack of a better word, spit in its eye, that makes a lot of people angry. And that's what really has me upset about it, because the guy just kind of just wasted it, just wasted his spot, his chance, he wasted a golden opportunity. But, you know, what's the term? Killed the golden goose. That is basically what he did. You know what I mean? Like, granted, was he ever going to, you know, was he going to be running IGN at some point in his life? Was he going to be, you know, top dog making bajillions of dollars? No, man. But you're still getting paid. You're getting a salary to make content based around video games. Like, that is it. That's a pretty rad freaking job. And then some people take it for granted, and that really sucks. But that's what I wanted to talk about, and the question I want to pose to you, the audience, is if you could work in video games in some form or fashion, whether it be making video games or producing content about video games or reviewing games, working in games journalism, what is like your ideal job? You know what I mean? Like, Would you want to be someone in front of the camera? Would you want to be, you know, like part of like the production crew, maybe designing levels? Do you want to like be the person that like develops the layout of a video game website to make it like super duper awesome and all that good stuff? Like, what would be your dream job working in video games? That is the question I posed to you this week. So that is going to do it for this week's episode. Sorry, I got rambling. This one's a little bit short, but like, I just, man, it really does upset me because, to be perfectly honest, I'm in the Army, and I'm in the Army because I'm good at this job and it helps me to support my family. But if I got an email right now from like Giant Bomb or Kind of Funny, or I mean anywhere, I mean if Boomstick Gaming was like, hey man, you want to come make videos and help me make some awesome stuff, and by the way, there's a paycheck involved, I would do nothing shy of jump off of a bridge in order to make that happen. And that's, I mean, that is the God's honest truth. So thank you again for listening. Remember, you can find Binary Gamer in all the places that you listen to your podcast: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Podcast, the internet. The internet has Binary Gamer. Who knew? You can also go over to YouTube, youtube.com, head over there and search Binary Gamers, and you can find our YouTube channel. Check out the awesome stuff we're doing over there. And finally, you can find me, Tony Spears, on Twitter, at iFlipTheSwitch. If you want to send your answers to the question there or in the comments of this episode, that's perfectly fine. And also, I just want to throw this out there. Please, if you're over on iTunes or, you know, wherever you're at, if there's a rating system in your podcatcher of choice, give us a rating. Just let me know how I'm doing. Maybe, you know, a little couple critiques. Is there something I'm doing that you don't like? Something that I'm doing you do like? Want me to do more of? You know, and obviously, tell your friends, obviously. But yeah, that's it. So that is going to do it for this week. Have an awesome week. Go play some games, kids. Go play some Monster Hunter. I mean, or Dead Cells. Or I don't know, maybe like hop into No Man's Sky again. But that's it. Have an awesome week. Class dismissed.